Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and I am here this week to share a few things with you that I put together. I have a rather long blog post, sorry, but I wanted to cover four things. I wanted to go over the vehicles you drive, the trucks. Let me tell you something, you live in your truck. Your truck's your office, it's your life, you do a lot of stuff with it. I don't know about you guys, I was in my truck a lot. On average, probably about 3-4 hours a day. You have some days you drive 10, 12 hours. You have some days you only drive maybe an hour each way. But, you know, you spend a lot of time in your truck. So I thought that's one of the four things I want to go over. I also want to go over heat exhaustion because it's that time of year, fellas. Just got to pay attention. And I also wanted to go over rope access because the thing about rope access is we need to know a little bit about it. And when I say a little bit, we really need to know a lot about it. I don't want to make it light. So I put a few notes in here about that. And the other thing I want to go over was near misses, because think how many near misses we have in our industry that we don't share with other people. This is really something that somehow we got to figure out how to change that. I get it that we don't want to share it. Because when you do it live on the site, it can be a real hassle. I'll get into that. So let's start out with trucks. So what I did in my blog, I put a survey in there. And here's what I want to know. I have three things in the survey. I want to know what truck you drive today, because I'm curious. I'm just curious what the work trucks are. Everyone drives, I shouldn't say that. Some guys drive different trucks. Like I saw one guy that converted like a tractor trailer into a tower truck. It was really cool. But he had his whole workshop in the back of the truck. I've seen guys drive straight trucks, like the big box trucks, and they use those again. So they had their workshop in the back of the truck. A lot of guys just pull trailers. A lot of guys have vans. What I always had, I either had an SUV or I had a Ford F-150 or a Chevy 1500. And each one has its perks. Like the thing about an SUV, it's really, I think, it's more secure. I mean, someone's really got to bust a window to steal stuff from you. Like right now, I have a Nissan Armada. It's a big SUV, and I love it. It's great. Never broke down on me, and it's just a pleasure to drive. If I wanted to, I could seat 8 people in it. If I put all the seats down, I can put a lot of mounts and stuff in the back. And I did that mostly when I was doing broadcast engineering. So, but I still have that truck. But worst truck I ever had was a Chevy 1500. And I'll tell you why. It wasn't a bad truck. It was nice and everything. But that doggone truck would break down every Friday night on the way home. And I know not every Friday night, but I can think of 3 times. And let me tell you something. On Friday night, you're coming home. You know, it's a 2 or 3 hour drive. You want to get home. That doggone truck, it was just so frustrating. I had AAA at the time, and you know, thank God for AAA, because I rode home with the tow truck driver more than anything. I had the plus, so they'd have to, you know, the tow truck driver would literally take me 2 or 3 hours to where I wanted to go, and I was a regular at the garage in that truck. It just seemed to break down all the time. I mean, I flipped out one night as, you know, coming back. It just pissed me off. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it's just so frustrating. And what kept breaking was they put the gas pump in the gas tank, and that thing just failed regularly. And the reason that was such a hassle, I'd take it into the mechanic. He'd have to drain the gas tank, drop the tank, because he had to get access from the top of the tank. And, you know, the top of the tank, so when it's mounted, is on the bottom of the truck. Then he would have to pull it out. It was on a rod or something, if I remember right, and then replace it. And sure enough, it'd go bad again. If I was lucky, I'd feel it going bad. You know, the truck would sputter. And that was a good thing, because then I knew to go to the mechanic. But usually just failed. I can think of 3 times. Friday night, you know, 6, 7 o'clock at night. I'm sitting along the highway waiting for AAA to show up. Ugh, it's frustrating. One of the trucks I really liked, which was one of the companies I worked for was, it was a Ford F-150. Really liked the truck. Extended cab, you know, a lot of room in there. I don't know if it's seat 4 comfortably, but, you know, it's seated 2 very well. And I drove by myself a lot of the times anyway. You know, we'd meet the crew at the tower site. So, but it was a nice truck, comfortable, never broke down. I hauled a lot of steel in that truck too. It's pretty amazing it never broke down. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, the tower site work, you know, we talk about safety all the time. But let me tell you something. If you're not happy in your truck, life's pretty miserable. And I see a lot of companies that skimp. You know, they get these cheap vans, hollowed out vans. And I get it. They want to save that, you know, $2,000 up front. But when you live in that truck, you know, if the guy that purchased the truck had to live in that truck like we do and feel all the bumps, get stuck, especially if it's a van, like those full-size vans, you get stuck in the snow, you get stuck in the mud. You know, I mean, the guy that purchased it doesn't care. He's like, well, what are you doing out there anyway? Well, hey, fella, it's sort of my job. I go to tower sites. The road's not always paved to the site. When it is, life is good. But usually you're going there, it depends where you're at in the country, you're going there in snow, you're going there in mud, you know, God knows what kind of hill you have to climb to get there. Chances are, you know, you're going up sideways on some of those hills. When I did work in Arizona, I can't think of the name of the mountain, but oh my gosh. I mean, you went up this hill, you were sideways. New York has some pretty nasty roads too. I'm trying to think of the name of the site up there. I mean, it was just by the grace of God that you would get to the tower site. And, you know, if anything ever happened on the tower site, no one would come up and tow you. You might as well just, you know, push your truck over the edge. Anyway, I have a survey about trucks. I'd like you guys just to fill it out because I'm curious, you know, what the trend is. Now, because I had that 1500, I would never buy another Chevy. But hey, that's me. I really resented the way Chevy built that truck. I'm not saying I'm a Ford guy either, because I had a Ford Explorer that had transmission problems, and I just couldn't believe it. And Ford Explorers, I had a lot of those throughout my career. Some were great. I mean, some of those trucks were awesome. Other ones were junk. It's the same model, for God's sakes. What do they change from year to year? I could never figure it out. Okay, I went on and on about that. So the next thing, in the blog, I put a lot of links in there for two rope groups. I have IRATA, which is the International Rope Access Trade Association, and I think they're based out of the UK, but they have offices all over. Now, the reason I put their link in there is because if you go to their website, they have some really good PDFs on rope access, that not only about rope, but about like what condition people doing this job should be in, what the trainers should be like, and so on. We can learn a lot from those guys. And before I give them all the credit, I do like those guys. IRATA is pretty awesome. The other one is SPRAT, Society of Professional Rope Access Technicians. They have a pretty awesome website too. They have standards. They have white papers, just like IRATA does. Both those organizations. If you're a tower climber, I think you should really pay attention to what they have out there, because rope is a big part of your job. And I asked the question, you know, if you wonder why you have to know more about that, then, you know, maybe you should start looking for a new job. I mean, if you don't use rope, wow, you know, that's pretty impressive. I know we use lanyards and straps, and I know there's a lot of steel cable and steel rope. Well, let's face it, man. I don't know about you guys. I used rope every day. I couldn't live without rope. I couldn't get my job done without rope. So I just think it would be worth your while to go in there. I have a link in there about safe practices for access work, things like that. It's from the SPRAT site. IRATA has a lot of PDFs about information on rope access. I think it's really worth your time looking at those sites if you want to learn about the job. If you're looking to get out, then get out. But if you want to become a better tower worker, I think it would be worth your time. I know a lot of the experienced guys probably know about it, and they know that they can learn from it. So, one more thing I put, I do a lot of posts on LinkedIn, like a lot of you know, and I got a response from Art Seely on heat exhaustion. He's a CEO over at Safety One Inc., and if you ever read his description, you know, he's a senior paramedic, he does training, and he's a CEO, all-around awesome guy. And he was kind enough to let me put his quote in my blog, so I have it in there. And what he talks about, this is why it's so important and so relevant at this time of year, but he talks about the heat exhaustion. Remember, I posted the story about the guy that had to be rescued from a tower because of heat exhaustion? It just happened. There were three guys on site. I think the way the articles were written, they were three different contractors. And I put it in there because the fire company had to come out and get him down. You know, he was just up there. And I don't know, maybe if the three guys weren't working together, maybe the guy, no one was looking out for the guy. And that's why I always say in here, look out for your workmates. If the guy's in the tower, whether he asked for it or not, send up the Gatorade, the water, the whatever, you know, something that won't, that will help the guy hydrate. Give him a drink, give him a hand, help him out. Help him remember to take care of himself when he doesn't. Because if you're on the ground, you have time to think about that. When you're on the ground, you should be looking out for the guys in the tower. Just like when the guys on the tower are looking out for you when something comes down fast. You know, something falls, something drops, something comes loose. We should all be looking out for each other. It's a team job, whether you like it or not. I did a lot of stuff myself throughout the years, and when I had a team out there, it made a difference. A lot of good guys out there, a lot of guys that really care about their workmates, and it's a big deal. You're like family. We love each other, hate each other, doesn't matter. You're like family. So you got to look out for your workmates. You got to be careful, not only for yourself, but for them. And I just want to go through what Art said. I'm going to read part of his quote. It's a long quote because he put a lot on LinkedIn. And apparently the guy is not shy of the type. Put a lot of information out there. So, this was specifically about the guy that had dehydration on the tower. He was responding to that. So I just want to go over it here for you real quick. I'm not going to do the whole quote. You can read the blog for that. But I'm going to highlight it here. So I'm going to quote Art Seeley. And basically what he talks about is dehydration. He talks about summer and winter. So he says the big difference between climbing in the summer or in Florida any time of the year and climbing in the winter is that although dehydration occurs in both scenarios in the hot environment, perspiration causes the dehydration, which throws the electrolyte balance in the blood plasma off very quickly. Now he's talking about summer dehydration here. Very quickly resulting in nausea, cramps, weakness, postural hypotension, etc. A summer climber needs fluid with electrolytes in it, such as a diluted 50% Gatorade mix to drink at 10-minute intervals. Now what he's saying there is what to do to stay hydrated. The only disadvantage of a 50% diluted Gatorade is the stomach sees the nutrients in the solution and immediately passes the fluid onto the small intestine, where the absorption rate is only a third as fast as the fluid as if it were to stay in the stomach. In other words, water stays in the stomach, and I'll get into that. I know I keep breaking away from his quote, but water stays in the stomach. Gatorade passes quickly because your stomach will pass food quickly, but will keep water in the stomach. And the other takeaway is the stomach will absorb the water or the fluid that stays in the stomach much faster than the intestine does. Okay, got that? All right, let's get back here. So, with pure water, the fluid stays in the stomach and is quickly passed to the bloodstream. Once in the bloodstream, the rehydration progresses next to the cells. Sorry, I lost my place. Sorry, guys. Next to the cells, and finally, to the interstitial spaces. Say that 10 times fast. The point of mentioning that is that even though a climber feels better after rehydrating from serious dehydration, he should wait at least 12 hours to resume any significant work. In winter climbs, the majority of fluid loss is through the surface of the lungs, which, unlike perspiration, does not upset electrolyte balance, and water is a great substitute to drink before, during, and after the climb. In either case, once you have the victim on the tower or on the ground, the initial attempts at fluid resuscitation should always utilize water at close to body temperature. You hear that, guys? You don't want cold water, you don't want hot water, you want it, you know, about 90 degrees, I guess, which is pretty warm, but you want it at body temperature. Hope I didn't miss anything here. So let's see, the fluid resuscitation. Okay, as with all victims, they must be able to hold the water container and drink from it themselves. Do not attempt to pour it in their mouth, as vomiting and aspiration result in delayed bacterial pneumonia is a likely result. That can easily be fatal without prompt hospitalization. Once the victim's symptoms start to improve, then if they were in a hot environment, you can start with Gatorade, 50% or 100% concentrations. A couple of instructors at Safety One are working on heavily modifying an insulated 3L Camelback to safely attach to the standard harness. And he goes on, he has a little more there. So But basically, here or there, he gives you some advice on what to do when someone does become dehydrated, and it's also happens in the winter. You know, it just happens a different way. In the summer, you sweat your butt off. In the winter, it actually comes out through your lungs. It's not common in the winter because I think probably nowadays, more than ever, people do drink a lot more fluids, a lot more water, Gatorade, et cetera, in the winter. It's not like they just, you know, drink a pot of coffee and then start climbing and then don't drink anything for the rest of the day. I think most people have the common sense, summer, winter, year-round, to stay hydrated. So with that said, I have a couple websites in there that I think would be worth your while. The state of California has something about it, and they also have a requirement that if you work in a heated environment like that, that your employer is required to make sure that you have water available or fluids of some type. And there's another one in there about staying hydrated. But where I worked at one of the last tower companies I worked at, they always bought Gatorade and water by the crate. You know, they would buy cases of it, and we would take it to the site. And the employer felt responsible to make sure that we were hydrated because they saw that as a serious threat, dehydration. And they also didn't want just the worker to go out and say, well, I don't make money this week, so I'm not going to buy any water or have any water on site. They took it very seriously. I know when I bought my own water, I used to buy those real cheap gallon jugs of water because it was cheap. You know, for a buck, you get a gallon. Who cares? You're out of the tower, so I'm not trying to impress anybody. But they took it very seriously. And if an employer doesn't want to buy you water or Gatorade to take out to the site by the case or by the crate, let's put it in perspective, okay? Let's look at it this way. So someone does get heat exhaustion, dehydration, they get sick. Workday stops. So you got four guys that stop work. One guy that may need to go to the hospital and probably should go to the hospital or should at least be checked out by a doctor. So chances are good, and you just saw it, you just heard in my quote from Art that he should be down for 12 hours, which means he's going to lose a day's work. Okay. So now you got a guy out for a day and a half. You got a crew that's probably going to be laid up for most of a day and maybe the next day if they can't do it with three guys. Okay. So now you lost a day and a half of work. So, and you're going to pay these guys regardless, right? So was it worth it? I mean, you could have bought a case of Gatorade and a case of water and had them take it to the site. Everyone's happy. So an ounce of prevention and a pound of cure. The ounce of prevention is a water and a Gatorade. That prevents you from needing the pound of cure, okay? But if you need a cure, you're going to lose a lot. So put it in perspective. And you know what? I understand a lot of tower company owners, they constantly have expenses. And I know safety is a huge expense. It's huge because they have to train people. They have to buy the safety gear, the safety equipment. And when they get something, if it's outdated or if it's worn or if somebody goes out, you know, if you have a near miss and he gets caught, it's always a hassle, right? It's always money. But you know what? What's more money is when somebody gets hurt and you're out of work, you can't work. Let's say you have something really bad happen, say that happens at a site and OSHA points you out. Just like, you know, I wrote that blog about the fines that OSHA applied to CNS. That's something to think about, guys. If you are in the press with bad press, that's going to look bad, and it's going to be hard to bid on work after that. You know, probably a lot of companies just shut down and start over unless they're really big, or they make great roads to recover, and they spend a lot more money trying to make sure that they're safe from now on. It's a big deal. So, I just think you should pay attention to the prevention and make sure that you have plenty of water, Gatorade, whatever you're going to have for fluids, but make sure it's water, you know, because that's one thing we did. We bought Gatorade. That's what we bought where I work, but we would also buy water. Always had water. Water bottles are cheap and easy. And by the way, when you're at a site, when you have all this stuff to drink, clean up afterwards, you know, what's wrong with you? I go to these sites and I see bottles everywhere. I just can't believe it. I know that's another story, but for crying out loud, you're at a tower site. Don't you care about what it looks like when you leave? I used to always have garbage bags. We all did. That was something our crews, we took great pride, and when we left the site, it was cleaner than when we got there most of the time. I just can't believe you. Some guys leave bottles and just garbage laying at the site. I mean, really? Don't you care? Sorry. That's another conversation. So let's talk near misses. Near misses are a big deal. You know, Kevin Carter, again, over at Safety One, wrote a blog about near misses and why people don't report near misses. Here's how I see it. One, it's a little embarrassing when you just make a dumb mistake. It happens, but it's embarrassing. Two, if the safety guy hears about it and you do report it, I don't know what your safety people are like. A lot of them want to shut down their work site. They want reports. You might have to go for a drug test. And the one place I worked at, you know, we went for drug tests all the time and had background checks, all that. But, you know, it's a big deal. It's going to shut the work site down. You're going to lose a day work, maybe 2 days of work. Everyone has to do a ton of paperwork. So who's going to report it? And safety guys, if you're listening, I mean, it's really something to think about. Here's the deal. If you're going to make it that much of a hassle, now, when I say near miss, I mean nobody got hurt, there was no injury, you know, you all talk about it, and it's no big deal. I'm not talking for when a guy does fall and the safety lanyard's expanded, okay? So when that happens, you got to take that seriously. But when you guys just have something that could have happened or something, a near miss or something that you talk about like, wow, that could have been bad, you know, did you ever have that conversation? That could have been bad, you know. So safety guys, if you're going to penalize someone for something that almost happened, you really got to think about what you're doing because they're not going to report it. And you have to realize human nature, okay? Do you understand that? Do you understand human nature? If someone gets hurt or if you have a lanyard that's expanded because someone fell 5 feet and their safety lanyard worked, that's one issue because they did fall 5 feet, the safety lanyard expanded. You got to talk about that. But if you had a near miss where something either fell or something could have happened or someone caught themselves before it happened and they don't report it, we don't learn from it. That's the idea. We want to learn from it. We want the experienced climbers to teach the newer climbers and learn from their experience. That's the way we are. We tell stories. From those stories, we learn. We make things better. We improve. And that's experience. So if someone can share their experience with someone that's newer, that's going to help them. And that's what I offer to do here, guys. If you want to email me or leave information on my blog or somehow, if you want to keep it anonymous, you can email me or I have a phone number in there. If you want to call me, leave a message. That's how we learn. I will gladly put those stories up there so other people can learn from them. If you do want your name up there, I'm fine with that too. But that's what I'm trying to do here. The near misses, I'd like to share those with the industry. Things that could have happened and probably what you do to make sure they don't happen again. So maybe the new guys will know not to do that because it's stupid. And I can tell you stories about guys that, like working with a capstan winch. One guy tried to take one loop off a capstan winch because he wanted better drag to drop something. And it was a near catastrophe. There was no catastrophe. It was a near miss, but it could have been horrible. It's something the guys talked about for weeks. And it's just something I don't want to happen to you. I was on another site. The mount was heavier than they thought. They didn't have enough drag. And they didn't have it anchored properly. And you know what happened? It came down hard. Didn't hurt anybody. You know, just came down hard. Didn't break any equipment. It was all steel. But it came down hard. Didn't hit anything else in the tower. Thank God. So things like that happen. Okay. And how do we prevent that? We tell stories. Listen, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I made a ton of mistakes. And the one, sorry, guys, my throat's drying up and I drink all my tea. So what do we do? I'm not saying I didn't make any mistakes. I made a ton of mistakes. It's just no one was around to see them. I lived, I learned, I corrected. You know, I made corrections along the way. That's why we reflect and think about what we've done, and then we find a way to improve it. Sometimes we repeat mistakes. We don't like to. We just do it either because we forget or we just think we can improve it the next time. So it's just something for you guys to think about. I think we got to share these near miss stories. That's what I would like to do. If you guys want to write in, I'll share them. If you don't care and you don't want anyone to know you made a mistake and you want everyone to think you're perfect, hey, God bless you. You keep going that way. I made a ton of mistakes. I'm far from perfect. I still make stupid mistakes. I wish I could say I don't, but I don't know why. I just do. But with that said, I'll tell you what I do different now than I did before. I think things through. I'm a little more patient. I'm a little slower. Slow isn't what the project manager, the boss, likes to hear, unless you don't have any incidents and you don't have any problems. Then they're happy you're slow. Or they may say he's slow but efficient. He's slow but good. He's slow but there aren't any problems. So that's what I'm trying to share with you guys. I'm trying to share that you need to be careful, you need to be safe, and you need to pay attention. Paying attention isn't just paying attention after the fact. It's paying attention before you do something. If you can think things through, usually it works out the way you think it's going to work. However, with that said, sometimes things don't work. Sometimes you make a stupid move. Sometimes you're trying to save time, cut corners, save money, go on and on and on. We all think we got a better way to do it. Let's just talk about it. And I see that a lot in the work site, especially with younger guys and older guys. Older guys are setting their way. They want to do it their way. And the younger guy has a better way to do it. If we could talk these things out, which I've seen a lot, you know, guys just talk it out. The older guy may have tried it already. The more experienced fella. The younger guy, maybe he's missing experience, or maybe he doesn't see something that experience shows him. Or maybe the younger guy is a great idea. And the experienced guy's like, well, let's try it that way. Never tried it that way. Or I tried it this way once, but maybe we could tweak it. You know, you can always tweak things and make it a little better. And that's what I did throughout the years. You know, you make mistakes, you correct. You make things better. The next time you go out, you know how to do something. You know how to do things faster, better, make it stronger. And that's how we improve. You know, that's why we pass stories down to each other. That's why we read books. That's why we learn from what other people have done. We read white papers. We read studies. We read things like that to improve what we do, because we really want to become better every day. We do. Most people do. I'm not saying you don't need a day off once in a while. I'm just saying you want to improve at what you do. You can do it faster, better, cleaner, make it better, whatever, you know, whatever you're doing. Make it better in some way. That's the goal. But if we can share these near-miss stories, if you don't want to share it and you don't want to come public, just send me some information. I'd be glad to put them all together in a post. That's what I'd like to do. My email's on my blog, wadeforwireless@gmail.com. You can put it in a post. I wouldn't put it in Facebook if you don't want anyone to know about it. That'd be sort of stupid. I have a contact form in there. You can fill that out. I have comments on the blog. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. Probably the safest way would be to email me, because I won't share that with anyone. All right, guys, I covered it for today. I hope that was enough for you. Put a video of some trucks in there, some monster trucks. I thought you'd enjoy that. Remember to support the Hubble Foundation. The Hubble Foundation, it's more than just supporting fallen workers, although that's the way I look at them, but they also support workers in trouble. Jed Hester really goes out of her way to support everybody she possibly can. She uses Facebook as a tool. That's another thing. It'd be great if we could get a group together and somehow we could do posts in a group that could help each other. In fact, I'd like to do posts in a group. I'm trying to think how to do it, where we could have these near-miss stories shared and we could share stories. And Jet could reach out to people in a faster way, either to email or to people's phones. I don't know, because she's often looking for people in a very specific region to help them out. And it's tough because, I mean, I don't look at Facebook but once a day. I'm just too busy. And it's just tough in that respect. But she helps out a lot of workers that just have a need. So other than that, that's about it for this week, guys. I got my books. Leave a review. Rate me on iTunes. Follow me on iTunes. That'd be the big thing. Or Stitcher. Follow me on Stitcher. And read the blog if you get a chance. I have a lot of good links in there. I know it's long. I apologize. It's well over 1,500 words. I know it's a lot. And if you want me to, I'll shorten the posts. I could easily split this up into, you know, four separate posts, but I just thought it was important to get everything out there. The truck thing I think is fun. You know, I think we'd all enjoy that. The rope thing I think is educational. That's something that I think could help you all. The ropes, IRATA and SPRAT are just amazing websites. They're a wealth of information if you're interested. Heat exhaustion, very relevant this time of year. I thought that was important. And the near misses conversation is something that we all should have. We should all learn from each other's mistakes, and we should improve from those mistakes and make things better every day. All right? All right, guys. I want you to be safe, be smart, pay attention to what you're doing now, pay attention to what you're going to do in an hour, pay attention to the way the job should be. At those tailgate meetings, pay attention, look around, look for fault, look for problems, look for safety hazards. Talk about how you're going to do the work. Talk about what you want to do at the end of the day. And at the end of the week, at the end of the day, we all want to come home alive. We all want to stay alive. That's the goal. That's the plan. So what we're going to do is we're going to work together. We're going to work as a team. Remember, your team is basically your family while you're on site, whether you like it or not. And just remember, in a family, you don't like everyone in the family, right? But you're stuck with them. It's just the way it is. Whether you like it or not, whether you have someone new to the family, people marry into families, people have babies, you know, you meet that cousin you don't know. Well, Tower works very similar. You always have someone you don't like to work with. You can always change that by talking to whoever's in charge. But the bottom line is, when you're on site, when you're doing a job, you're all looking out for each other. You've got to work as a team. You got to think of each other as a family, and you got to make things right. And also, if you're out of sight and you do work and you drink a lot of water and you drink a lot of Gatorade, clean up when you leave. Recycle all those plastic bottles, but clean up. Oh my God, I get so mad when I see garbage at sites. It's one thing if like kids party there and they leave beer bottles or something, but it's another thing when a worker leaves a site a mess, right? And I know most of you don't. 90% of you really care that it's clean when you leave because you want repeat work. You want the tower company to understand that you care about not only yourself, but the environment around you. All right? All right. Done preaching. Be safe. Be smart. Pay attention. And have a good week, guys. See you.